Hello, I am Professor Mahesh Agnihotri, your host for the episode number 18. I have been publishing episodes on the fundamentals of investing. So far, I have published a number of episodes on the various topics of investment. In this episode, we will discuss derivatives and also one of the most common types of derivatives, that is, options. The other types of derivatives, futures, swaps, and forwards will be discussed in the subsequent episodes. To start with, let us now first know the meaning of the term derivatives and its importance. In simple terms, a derivative is a contract between two parties which derives its value or price from an underlying asset. The most common types of derivatives are futures, options, forwards, and swaps. The value of the underlying asset is bound to change as the value of the underlying assets keep changing continuously. What are underlying assets then? Generally, stocks, bonds, currency, commodities, and interest rates form the underlying assets. The question is, why do investors use derivatives? Investors use derivatives for three reasons. The first reason is to hedge a position. The second is to increase leverage. And finally, to speculate on an asset's movement. Hedging is usually done to protect against or to ensure the risk of an asset. Investors also use derivatives to bet on the future price of the asset through speculation. You may ask, why invest in derivatives? What are the advantages? Everyone wants to make profits. This is a known fact all over the world. But that is not the only reason investors flock towards derivative contracts. One of the biggest reasons as to why investors prefer derivatives is because it gives them an arbitrage advantage. And this brings us to the question as to what is an arbitrage. An arbitrage is the purchase and sale of an asset in order to profit from a difference in the asset's price between the two markets, or between the markets. To make it more clear, let me tell you, investors can buy an asset at a low price in one market and then sell it at a higher price in another market. This is how the buyer is protected by the difference in the value of the product in the different markets, and thereby gets an added benefit from both the markets. The product, by product I mean here, it could be the stocks or shares. Derivative contracts are also a great way to transfer risk and also balance the portfolio. Let us know who are the participants of the derivatives market. There are four participants of the derivatives market: hedgers, speculators, margin traders, and arbitrageurs. The first one, hedgers. Who are hedgers? Hedgers are risk-averse brokers and traders who wish to play it safe in the stock market. Rather than invest in tricky stocks, which may give them either a huge profit or a huge loss, hedgers invest their money in derivatives market in a bid to protect their portfolio. That is one of the reasons. By assuming an opposite position concerning the derivatives market, the investors can protect themselves against market risk and also the price fluctuations. Actually, they look for opportunities to pass on this risk to those who are willing to bear it. For example, let us say that you possess 200 shares of ABC company and the price of which is hovering around $110 at present. Suppose you plan to sell these shares around Christmas time and you wish to utilize these funds to purchase some consumer goods during the season, because you are likely to get a good deal when you purchase these items during the festival time. However, since Christmas is around a month from today, you fear that the price of these shares could fall considerably by then. At the same time, you don't want to encash your investment today, as you fear that you may fritter away the money before Christmas time. At the same time, you are very, very clear about the fact that you would like to receive a minimum of $100 per share and nothing less than that. At the same time, in case the price rises above $100, you as investors would like to benefit by selling them at higher price. By paying a small price, investors can purchase an agreement in the form of a derivative product called an option that incorporates all the above requirements of the investors. Having seen who are the hedgers, now let us see who are the speculators. Speculators are sophisticated investors or traders who purchase assets for short periods of time and employ strategies in order to profit from the changes in its price. You may wonder why someone will willingly take on the risk from you. The only explanation which I can give is that it takes all types of people to make the world. So that is the reason some people take the risk. So while you may be averse to risk, there are some other people who embrace them, since risk and return always go hand in hand. That is known to us. Then again, while you believe that the market will go up, there are some people who feel that it will fall. These differences in the risk profile and the market views distinguish hedgers from speculators. Speculators, unlike hedgers, look for opportunities to take on risk in the hope of making good returns. If a speculator believes that a particular asset is going to increase in value, he may choose to purchase as much of the asset as possible. This activity, based on the perceived increase in demand, drives up the price of the particular asset. In fact, if this activity is seen across the market as a positive sign, it may as well cause other traders also to purchase the asset, and which further elevates the price. And this can result in a speculative bubble, where the speculator activity has driven the price of the asset above its true value. The same can be seen in reverse situation as well. If a speculator believes a downward trend is on the horizon, or that an asset is currently overpriced, they sell as much of the asset as possible while prices are higher. This act brings to lower the price of the asset. If other traders also act in the same way, then the price will continue to fall until the activity in the market stabilizes. Now we move on to the third most common type of derivative forms, that is market traders. Market traders are speculators who make use of the payment mechanism, which is peculiar to the derivatives markets. When you trade in derivatives products, you are not required to pay the total value of the position in advance. You are only required to pay or deposit a fraction of the value of your outstanding position. This is called margin trading and results in a higher leverage factor in derivative trades. In other words, I can say that with a small deposit, investors are able to maintain a large outstanding position. This leverage factor is a multiplier, which allows the speculator to buy 3 to 5 times the quantity that his capital investment would otherwise have allowed him to buy in the cash market. For example, let us say a sum of $180,000 fetches you 180 shares of a company called XYZ in the cash market, and that is at the rate of, say, $1,000 per share. $1,000 per share times 180 is $180,000. Under the margin trading in the derivatives market, if you are required to deposit a margin of 30% of the value of outstanding position, you would be able to purchase 600 shares of the same company at the same price with your capital of 180,000. That is, you will be able to purchase 600 shares in a derivatives market as compared to only 180 shares in a cash market. So that means you are allowed a leverage of 3.33 times in this case. And suppose if the price of XYZ company rises by $100 per share, and your 180 shares in the cash market will give you a profit of $18,000, which would mean a profit of 10% on your investment. That is, you have purchased at 180,000, now you got 198,000. That is 1,100 times 180. This has given you a profit of 18,000, which is actually 10% of your investment. However, your payoff in the derivatives market would be much higher. Definitely, your payoff in the derivatives market would be greater than the cash market. The same rise of $100 in the derivatives market would give you $60,000, which translates into a whopping 33% on your investments of $180,000, because you had purchased 600 shares. And so this 600 shares times 100 will fetch you $60,000. This is how a margin trader, who is basically a speculator, benefits from trading in derivatives. That is an advantage. Now we move on to the fourth category, the arbitrageurs. I had given you a brief introduction of this in earlier. Arbitrageurs are those people who make use of the market imperfections to make money by buying low-priced stocks and then selling them at higher prices in a different market. However, this is possible only if the commodity or the shares or the stocks in question are priced differently in different markets. Otherwise, no. But they are priced differently. And the difference may not be too high, but yes, there is a difference. Now we move on to the importance of derivatives. Derivatives contracts are very important for investors as it helps them in hedging their risks. Not only that, even in diversifying their portfolio. It also helps them against inflation and deflation effects. Let me tell you that the world market for derivatives has grown extensively in the last couple of decades, and that too in various parts of the world, not just in a few countries. Derivatives are generally good risk management tools because they are flexible and can easily be engineered to suit the required specific need of any company. More often than necessary, companies are left in the corner, too difficult to escape because of the varied situations that expose them to risk, including but not just limited to a rise in the interest rates or a depreciation of currency and all that. Now, having seen the various types of derivatives, now let us participants of derivatives. Now let us see the most common types of derivatives. The most four common types of derivatives are options, futures, swaps, and forwards. The first up, let us discuss options contract. What is an options contract? An options contract is an agreement between two parties to facilitate a potential transaction on the underlying security at a present price referred to as the strike price or prior to the expiration date. For stock options, a single contract covers 100 shares of the underlying stock. What are call options? Call options are those which give the buyer the right but not the obligation to buy the underlying asset at the strike price which is specified in the option contract. Investors buy calls when they believe the price of the underlying asset will increase and sell calls if they believe it will decrease. Put options. Put options give the buyer the right, but not the obligation to sell the underlying asset at the strike price, which is specified in the contract. The writer, that is the seller of the put option, is obligated to buy the asset if the put buyer exercises his option. Investors buy put options when they believe the price of the underlying asset will decrease and sell puts if they believe it will decrease. Actually, call options allow the holder to buy the asset at a stated price with a specified time frame, whereas put options allow the holder to sell the asset at a stated price within a specified time frame. Let us discuss the basics of the call options. For options on stocks, call options give the holder the right to buy 100 shares of a company at a specified price known as the strike price. Up until a specified date known as the expiration date. For example, a single call option contract may give a holder the right to buy 100 shares of Apple stock at $100 until the expiry in 3 months' time. There are many expiration dates and strike prices for traders to choose from, not just one. As the value of Apple stock goes up, the price of the option contract also goes up, and vice versa. The call option buyer may hold the contract until the expiration date, at which point they can take the delivery of 100 shares of stock or sell the options contract at any point before the expiration date at the market price of the contract at that time. To make things clear, we can say a call can mean two things. Firstly, it can refer to an option contract giving the owner the right but not the obligation to buy a specified amount of an underlying security at a specified price within a specified time. Secondly, it can also refer to a call option, a time when buyers set a maximum acceptable price to buy and sellers set the minimum satisfactory price to sell a security on an exchange. The thing is, matching buyers and sellers in this process increases liquidity and decreases volatility, and that is important for the economy. Now let us see what are the advantages of options. Options have been around for more than 40 years in some countries, but options are just now starting to get the attention they deserve now. Many investors have avoided options because they thought they are too difficult to understand. Many more have had bad initial experiences with options because neither they nor their brokers were properly trained in how to use them. You may agree if I say that the improper use of options, like that of any powerful tool, can lead to major problems. Now, let us move on to the advantages of options. There are four key advantages options may give the investor. The first one, they may provide increased cost efficiency. The second one, they may be less risky than equities. The third advantage, they have the potential to deliver higher percentage returns. And the last one is, they offer a number of strategic alternatives. So let us discuss the first one, that is cost efficiency. Options have great leveraging power. An investor can obtain an option position similar to a stock position, but at huge cost savings. And this is important. For example, to purchase 200 shares of an $80 stock, an investor must have to pay $16,000. However, if the investor were to purchase two $20 calls with each contract representing $100, the total investment would be only $4,000. The investor would then have an additional of $12,000 left to use at his discretion. Otherwise, he would have had to spend $16,000. Now he is spending only $4,000 in a derivatives contract. Say you wish to purchase the stock of, say, XYZ Corporation because you think it will be going up over the next few months. You want to buy 200 shares while XYZ is trading around, say, $131. This would cost you a total of $26,200. That is 200 times 131, which works out to $26,200. Instead of putting up that much money, you could have gone into this options market, picked up the option mimicking the stock closely, and bought the August call option with a strike price of $100 for $34. To acquire a position equivalent in size to the 200 shares which I mentioned earlier, you would need to buy two contracts of, because every contract is $100 and 100 shares. This would bring your total investment to 6,800 shares and $6,800. That is for two contracts, as opposed to your 26,200 in the cash market. The difference of say between 26,200 and 6,800 in the later example will give you a difference of 9,400 could be left in your account and could be deposited in a bank to gain interest, or it can be applied to another opportunity providing better diversification potential, among other things. So that is a great cost efficiency factor which is available in derivatives trading. The second advantage is options are less risky. There are situations in which buying options are riskier than owning equities. But there are also times when options can be used to reduce risk. It really depends on how you use them. Options can be less risky for investors because they require less financial commitment than equities. And they can also be less risky due to their relative impulsiveness to the potentially catastrophic effects of the gap openings. Options are the most dependable form of hedge, I can say. And this also makes them safer than stocks. When an investor purchases stocks, a stop order is frequently placed to protect the position. The stop order is designed to stop losses below a predetermined price, which is identified by the investor or by the owner of the stocks. The problem with these orders lies in the nature of the order itself. A stop order is executed when the stock trades at or below the limit as indicated in the order. For example, let us say you buy ABC company stock at $50 per share. You do not wish to lose more than 10% of your investment. So you place a $45 stop order. This order will become a market order to sell once the stock trades at or below $45. This order works during the day, but it may lead to problems at night. Imagine you go to bed when the stock was having closed at $51. The next day morning, when you wake up and turn on the television sets, you hear that there is breaking news on your stock. It seems the company CEO has been lying about the company's earnings and reports for quite some time now, that there is also the feeling that there is an embezzlement by the accountants of the company. The stock is expected to open down around $20. Imagine when this happens, $20 will be the first trade below your stop order $45 limit price. So, when the stock opens, you sell at $20, locking in a considerable loss. The stop order loss was not there when you needed it most. That was the problem. Had you purchased a put option for the protection, you would not have suffered that catastrophic loss. Unlike stop loss orders, options do not shut down when the market closes. That is the biggest advantage of options. They give you insurance 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is something stop orders can't do. This is why options are considered a dependable form of hedging. The third advantage is higher potential earnings, I should say. You don't need a calculator to figure out. If you spend less money and make almost the same profit, you will have a higher rate of return. When they pay off, that's what options typically offer to the investors. This is all for this episode. In the next episode, we will discuss the other common types of derivatives. Till that time, if you are actively trading, always remember the two rules which Warren Buffett suggested investors to follow. Rule number one, never lose your money. Rule number two, never forget rule number one. That's all we have in this episode. Please like, share, subscribe the podcast, and also recommend it to your friends as well. I will appreciate your views as well. Should you have any questions, you may contact me on my email, agnihotripodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, and see you in episode number 19.